TNT Radio wants to know what you really think. From COVID-19, the Ukraine conflict, the persecution of Julian Assange, corrupt government, the WEF, digital IDs and digital currency, the Great Reset, the disassembling of the West, and the destruction of the world as we once knew it. Your opinion matters. It's time to get on our soapbox and tell us what you really think at TNTRadio.live. Upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's soapbox. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. Germ warfare is Jeremy Nell on today's news talk radio, TNT.
Germ warfare at TNTRadio.live. That's my email address. Send me an email. And to those who have been sending me emails, thank you. I do particularly appreciate, as always, knowing where you are messaging me from. No, I'm not harvesting your data. I've been accused of that. Dude, seriously, I don't even know how to work an Excel spreadsheet. So if you think I'm able to harvest your data, then this is probably not the show you want to be listening to. I draw pictures for a living and I talk to people. I do not know how to put together data in any kind of meaningful way. So let me know where in the world you are listening from and jump into the live chat. It's on TNTRadio.live's website. People are chatting already. In the live chat, let me know where you are as well. As always, it's the thing that I love most because TNT Radio is global. And it's such an interesting concept to me how 20 years ago, doing exactly this would have been so difficult. And yet here I am speaking to you from the bottom tip of the African continent. And people from everywhere around the world can tune in and listen. I just love that. It really is just so mind-blowing. It really gets me so excited because on the one hand, technology can be used for very bad things, as Elon Musk has said, but it can also be used for very good things like right now. Speaking of which, I'm running off an inverter at the moment because I have no electricity. Because South Africa is currently going through scheduled rolling blackouts. It's pretty severe, to be honest. We average about 6 to 8 hours per day of no electricity. So I'm running off an inverter at the moment. And this is probably perfect for the United Nations and their ridiculous sustainable agenda, carbon net zero nonsense. They are very happy when people have no electricity because they then can use that as an opportunity to propagandize and spread messages of fear and all sorts of other nonsense, which my upcoming guest will chat to me a little bit about. I think shall we go to my guest, Murray? Let's do it.
Headlines as they come in.
They have the breaking news.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
I've been wanting to chat to you for a long time now. Naomi Zeit, thank you for joining me in the trenches.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope you can hear me now and everything works. Yeah, we've been wanting to talk for ages and I was on your show, years ago. And it was, yes, still today. It's one of my favorite interviews. I enjoyed it so much. And ever since then, I continue to follow your work on Telegram and everything because I noticed that you have a very... very wide range of guests and opinions. It's very diverse on there, but in a good sense. So I really enjoy listening to your show all the time. So I'm so glad that you reached out again. Thank you.
Well, no, it's a great pleasure. Shows like this don't succeed without great minds, Naomi, like yours. Now, when you and I chatted, I think it was in 2020 when all this COVID nonsense started. And I remember seeing you on the internet as you were known then. I don't know if it's still the same anymore, but you became known as the anti-Greta because you sort of in her age bracket, but the message that you were presenting was precisely the opposite and in my view, the correct one. Do you still hold those views?
Yes, of course. I still stand by what I said in the first place, because what I noticed with the whole climate change movement is that it's simply not a scientific movement. It's purely based on environmentalist activism, but in a very warped sense. The people don't really have any idea what they're talking about precisely. It's more of a just echoing everything that they hear from the media, what they're supposed to say. We are supposed to think that fossil fuels are bad. We are supposed to think that humans themselves are bad. If you listen to the catchphrases that they use, like human impact, why is it human impact that is bad? That is such a vague statement, but at the same time, it's such a powerful statement. It implies that just the existence of humans themselves is evil somehow. And so it almost becomes like a religion. This is a substitute religion. And especially as we are in an era where I would say that Christianity is losing its popularity, which I mean, I'm not saying that you have to be a Christian or religious at all to be good, but you have to be aware of the fact that once remove religion, there will be a vacuum and people will try to find something else to hold on to. And if you don't develop your own morality, your own moral compass that is rooted in some sort of universal ethics that makes sense, that are not just picked and chosen randomly based on whatever feels best right now, or just based on some trends like the climate change movement, then it turns into something very sinister. And we can't let society be ruled by totalitarian powers or self-proclaimed experts who really then have such a big impact on the whole morality of society.
Okay, so I want to chat a little bit about your background. When you and I last spoke, you sounded a lot more German than you do now. What happened?
Well, I take it as a compliment. Thank you. Yes. I don't know. Well, now I'm actually moving probably to the UK. I'm already there and I'm looking into visas and everything. For now, I'm just staying for a couple of months. And yeah, I guess maybe my accent just developed over time. I only just moved here, so it can't be from just moving here. But yeah, maybe more interactions with international people
listen.
Over time.
Well, your accent is better than Murray's. Murray's Australian, and nobody likes Australian accents.
That's not true. I like Australian accents.
All right, Naomi, what is your background?
Well, my whole background, I guess that would start in very early. In 2015, I first started really getting into politics. I always hated politics before that. In middle school, I always thought this is like the last field that I can see myself in because it's boring. I hate elections. I don't know any of these names of politicians and parties. And honestly, I still feel the same way, but I just discovered for myself that my views on politics are libertarian. And so that means that I basically reject all of this bureaucracy and political nonsense that's going on. And I despise the government tyranny, which is very real. And we saw that, especially once the whole climate change movement and then the COVID nonsense started, which, yeah, I still stand by my view on this, that it is a tyranny. And people may say, oh, I'm over-exaggerating. No, it's not an over-exaggeration. The lockdown, in my opinion, was a tyranny. And I just posted this on Twitter. And for example, just consider the rise of suicide rates, the way that children were terrified into complete isolation, the demise of mental health, basically, in all of society, then ruining families' existences and their small businesses. That way, all the huge corporations, which, by the way, has nothing to do with the free market and capitalism anymore, and then the anti-capitalists, which are usually the climate change activists as well, then they come out and claim that capitalism is the reason why all these huge companies are becoming so successful. But no, corporatism is something that is that has nothing to do with the free market itself. It has to do with all the government incentives. So they're looking at the false enemy there, basically. So basically, I started out by just getting into libertarian politics, and I started following Stefan Molyneux, for example, who just got back on Twitter, by the way. I saw that today.
I saw.
And then also Jordan Peterson. He was basically the next idol of mine. I don't really want to say that I have any heroes or idols, because I never agree 100% with everyone. I have my disagreements with everyone, but that's the beauty of it too, because then what I think is, if I ever got the chance to meet some of my idols, and I could have interesting discussions with them about the topics that we might disagree on, and without any ill will in it. So then I started my own YouTube channel, which was, first of all, it was basically just German. I'd been posting some blog articles before, just after high school, which got a couple of views, but I don't know how many people really read them, maybe like 10,000 or something. And yeah, then I started my YouTube channel, and it blew up quite quickly in Germany. Just within a couple of weeks, months, I got like 30,000 subscribers, and then it just grew and grew. And eventually I got to 100,000 subscribers. That was when it really took off with the whole climate change thing. But that was kind of a coincidence, because I basically got into the climate change topic at the start of the Fridays for Future movement, which was led by, or is still led by, Greta Thunberg. And I made my own video about climate change, because at first I was very much myself pro, we need to save the planet from climate change. Just normal student, because that's what you learn in school, and just don't question it. I was one of the people who thought that everyone who denies climate change is an idiot.
Yes.
Which, I mean, basically, yeah, it's true, because it would be stupid to deny that the climate is changing and has always been changing. But the question is it because of human impact, and is it a bad thing? Is it like really catastrophic and we need to worry about it and basically eliminate all of society and ruin futures of everyone who wants to make a living or just survive on a daily basis? For the sake of protecting the climate, or whatever that means, because what even is the climate? I started looking into it, because I thought that it was such a unquestionable take that climate change is real and catastrophic. And yeah, I had to come to the conclusion that I was wrong myself, and that there is a lot to be questioned in climate science. And I always enjoyed science in school, so that was quite fascinating for me. And then I happened to get in touch with a bunch of actual climate scientists who do research on, questioning climate science, and really the impact that CO2 can possibly have on the atmosphere and on the temperature. Because whenever you read an article nowadays about why climate change is bad and what exactly climate change is causing once again, do you ever see really a causal relationship between CO2 emissions, man-made CO2 emissions, and whatever they claim is happening again? No, usually there is no scientific explanation anymore, or I think there never was one, because they just take it for granted. They just accept it as a fact that we already know, obviously, man-made CO2 emissions cause this and that. And so whenever you read, there is a catastrophe, there's this kind of natural catastrophe going on, we already have to assume that it was climate change, that it was man-made CO2 emissions. Not even just climate change, but the claim is implied that it was man-made CO2 emissions, because you drive your car to work, that's why something exploded on the other side of the planet. That's how you have to see it, which is so removed from reality, but we don't question it anymore, because we have this message ingrained in us every single day. And so we need to take off the blinders, and we need to question every single article, every single news story that we see, and ask ourselves, is this really something that is out of the ordinary? Is this abnormal? Or could it just be a natural catastrophe, which we've been witnessing for years and years and years, even before climate change due to man-made CO2 emissions could have ever been a thing? The climate has always been changing. And so is it really such a bad thing? And then there's also the other side of the coin. Do you ever read anything about when it does get colder somewhere, when the sea levels are, sometimes they say the sea levels are rising, sometimes they're doing the opposite, and always it's related to climate change, and always it's made out to be a bad thing. Whatever you find, it's a bad thing. And now even myocarditis, even heart conditions are related to climate change. What else could they be related to? I don't know. Must be climate change. So climate change has become a scapegoat for everything. And yeah, that's what really drew me in. Then I got in touch with a few American climate activists, climate change scientists as well. Not activists. I don't like to refer to them as activists, because the climate change activism is what they do, what the climate change propagandists do. And I got more on the side of climate realism, which I basically only get in touch with scientists in the field, because I don't like to associate myself with just, with politicians, for example, who talk about climate change. That doesn't make sense for me. They have their role to play. They have to do, of course, it's meaningful as well. A politician has to put out the message, because often it is true that scientists don't really have the capacity, of course, also the time, and also maybe not the familiarity with being in the public sphere to really do the speaking about their topic. So we need some people who do the activism for them. But those people also need to be deeply aware of the science. And that is a problem that I see with people like Greta Thunberg, for example. She's a speaker. And that's why I don't like being referred to as the anti-Greta Thunberg. That is something that the German media started, and then the international media adopted it. And that's basically how I became the anti-Greta Thunberg. But in a literal sense, that would mean that I am basically just a right-wing poster girl for my side of the of the climate change narrative. And I don't want this to be just a narrative, because it is a scientific topic. And so we need to let the scientists speak out in the open. And that's why I'm always open to a debate, because I do look into the science. And I also, I had a YouTube channel, like I said, for a while, which got banned at 100,000 subscribers. Then I tried to start a new one, and I delved more into the COVID topic as well, because that was something that also became a big topic for me, especially in 2020. And I gave a speech in the German parliament, which also blew up in Germany quite a bit, criticizing the PCR tests and the roots of virology, basically, which is also something that we talked about in your podcast last time I was on in 2020. And so the next channel that I started on YouTube got banned as well. So that tells you something, because now looking back at it, it was mostly because of my skeptical views on vaccines, which, well, basically turned out to be true. But anyways, I can't come back to YouTube with my own channel, but we'll see what I'm going to do about that.
Okay.
Any questions?
Naomi. Yeah, let me just quickly stop you there. I just quickly have to do a break, and I'll be back with you in a moment.
Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
I'm getting a little tired of people who think Elon, and I'm talking to my neighbors, they think he's a savior, and he's just this fantastic guy that came in and is going to save, you know, our free speech. I'm not so convinced. When he did the Mike Alex Jones thing and said, I lost a baby in my arms, therefore I can't have someone who profits. Made an emotional billionaire makes a decision of who's allowed on and who's not. No, no, no. A poll on Donald Trump. Now, I've been told that the polls that he's been doing are a way to draw out bots, and there's a way to expose the bots so that he can get rid of them. I don't know. It's possible that he's got other designs, but I still think it's just a muddled policy. And as far as I know, a lot of the big names, Naomi Wolf and many others who I've followed who were banned, are still not back this much later. I think they should just go back to the 2015 Twitter policy. They could never be accused of fascism. It would be the same thing that they had, and it would have no, just again, if it's illegal, if it's spamming, if it's harassment, traditional things, but nothing to do with content. Not because, oh, you know, I lost a baby in my arm, so that person's banned, and this person over here will just do a poll on and see what people think. It's just not working out there.
The Mark Morano Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
The vaccine campaign will be known as the biggest crime ever committed on humanity. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, Naomi, before we get into some of the juicy stuff, I've received an email from Carrie. She wants me to ask you about your family life. I don't know much about that. You are so well informed that I'm guessing you were brought up in the best way.
Thank you. Good question. I grew up without a father, so I'm very stereotypical, fatherless girl, and it probably had an impact on me as well. But I was lucky that I had a very loving and caring mother, still have. And however, my path was definitely a quite dark one, to be honest. I was raised partially by a stepfather, if I can call him that. My mum was married to him, and that's where my name Zagd comes from as well. And they got divorced, and I was brought up with him basically on the weekends as like my father, but I never called him my father because I felt uncomfortable with that. And I've never talked about this in public, but I feel secure enough to talk about it now. I have some, I would say, very dark memories with this man, which I never questioned until later in life. I don't know if I'm ever going to pursue him for it, but I definitely know that he mistreated me in ways that you should never mistreat a small child. And I never could tell my mum either, because I myself wasn't really aware of it, because there is some kind of cognitive dissonance that you develop as a child to suppress memories. And also, even though I had the specific memories, I told myself that it was fine, because I had to find some kind of justification for myself that it was fine. But anyways, my mum always raised me in a very libertarian way. We never really talked about politics or anything. She wasn't really into politics either. It was never a thing. She's a lawyer for medical law. And so I was not influenced by her at all in that regard. And we basically got into politics at the same time and together. She started out by questioning the wave of migrants in 2015. And I was quite annoyed by that at first. Why do we have to talk about this at the dinner table? Is that really necessary? And as time moved on, I just, she showed me some videos, and I didn't really gain an interest until I found people like Stefan Molyneux. And then I thought, oh, this is my niche. I'm enjoying this. And I just started to develop this sense of understanding that it's about way more than just politics. This is something that is going to define my whole philosophy of life. And I had been looking for something like that, because at that point I felt kind of lost in life. I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. I applied at Cambridge University, and I wanted to become this ambitious straight A student, which I already was in high school. And I wanted to continue on that path and become great and probably not have any children and just become a scientist. That was my big dream, a big goal. But I found that it was just burning me out, and I was not, basically mentally, I'm not shaped to be in this school system. And I was so tired of the education system. I was so tired of everything being so non-individual, just collectivist education. And so I found this libertarian philosophy, and that really started to give me a cluster of ideas for how I can approach every topic in life and how I can approach science as well, always with an open mind. And that was really, this is where my brain, my mind found home. And I started a university degree in Germany as well. I started to study economics and I hated it. And not because of economics, because I loved that. And before university even, I wrote a very long thesis, about 70 pages in English. So you can even find it on my website, naomizeib.com, which is a thesis, a deconstruction of postmodern socialism, wherein I criticize the basically cultural Marxist rise of socialist ideas in modern times. And I contributed that to a competition in Germany, the Hayek competition. And so that was something I did before university. And then when I started my university courses, I realized this is, I already went way beyond what we are being taught here. And also it's so one-sided and I don't feel comfortable with that and I'm not enjoying it. So I dropped out after just one semester and I was super depressed because I thought, But you have this perfect high school degree and you can go to any university with it. So why can't I apply my skills to something that I wanted to do for so long? I always wanted to go to university, but I just couldn't feel comfortable with the idea. So I started an online university course in psychology. Unfortunately, then I got very ill, so I had to take a break. And then basically my whole activism social media career with climate change started, and then eventually it took a long time, and I started to realize that my condition was chronic gut disease, and it became so difficult to handle that I just decided I'm going to focus on the opportunity that I was given to speak about what I'm so passionate about and the science about climate change, and then later COVID as well, that I'm going to drop out of university and just see where life takes me. Also, I just noticed the vast difference in education that I received between going to university and just taking the standard classes and the standard education, reading all the books that I got there, and then really getting in touch with the actual scientists behind the topics that I'm fascinated about and asking them the questions that I'm most curious about. And that was so much more valuable to me. That's the main reason why I stopped going to university. And I'm not saying that it's the right thing to do for everyone. There is a purpose in university education, yes. But today it has become very, very difficult to find a good university that is really designed to fit individual needs and standards and to really refine your skills, which is what universities should do. They should make you the best version of you and not the best version of whatever society deems useful in some way, or not even useful. Most people who come out of university are not even particularly useful, and then they have to do something that is not related to their university degree at all. Now, I'm sorry, but what are you going to do with liberal arts? Teaching about gender studies yourself? Is that really what society needs? And then you can say, well, I have a university degree, but is that really better than somebody who did their own research? Well, that always sounds so that always sounds so vague. I did my own research. That can mean just reading a Huffington Post or BuzzFeed article. But yeah, in my case, I really do have access to some of the best scientists in the world, who I would claim are like leading scientists in virology or in questioning virology from Switzerland. And I'm in touch with them basically on a regular basis. And I got to learn so much from them, from like really personal phone calls, and they have become some of my best friends. And that is so beautiful to have such an intimate connection to people whom I can look up to as well, and who I have so much respect for. So I understand when people criticize me and say, oh, she didn't go to school either, just like Greta Thunberg. But I do want to distinguish there.
Yes. Okay. I have to quickly do news headlines, Naomi. I'll be back with you now.
Big news, TNT Radio News.
Matt Boylan here with your TNT headlines. A special counsel has been appointed to investigate US President Joe Biden for allegedly stealing top-secret documents from the White House during his time as vice president. The International Federation of Journalists has hit out at Ukraine for granting Kyiv sweeping powers to control the national media landscape. And a group of elite female athletes are threatening to sue America's National College Athletic Association for backflipping on its promise to ban biological men from competing in women's sports.
On air and on the app.
I listen on the app.
Stay up to date around the clock.
I listen, therefore I know.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Chatting to Naomi Zeipt. Now, hold on. I've got to quickly get this right because I sometimes see that B as a silent. Do I pronounce the B? Zeipt.
That's correct. Zeipt. Basically, if you want a international spelling, imagine it as Z-I-P-E-D.
Yes. Okay, because everything is silent in French and nothing is silent in German.
Yeah, that's true.
Naomi, I have to ask you, you are way ahead of your years in terms of wisdom. I mean, you just ooze so much thoughtfulness. I have to remind my listeners how old you are.
I'm 22, 22 and a half, I guess. And well, I've always been a bit of an outlier, which is also something like Greta Thunberg is famous for being autistic. And I've been told many times that I'm like a high functioning autistic as well. But I just hate the field of psychology and just slamming any diagnosis on people. So I don't identify with any diagnosis of autism or anything like that, because to me it's just, yeah, I know I'm different. I know my brain works in different ways. And I don't like to identify myself over my IQ either. I know it's quite high, but I mean, in the end, it comes down to what do you make of your skills. And you can have the highest IQ, but if you then if you then lack the capacity for empathy, for example, you can't really make use of your skills. You can't socialize anymore. And I've struggled with that too. But then once I got in the public sphere, I basically had to forcefully learn how to get out there and do all the public speaking. And I started really enjoying it. And I found that it was my thing. Yeah, I underestimated my own love for public speaking at first, because I was quite shy and intimidated in school because I felt like such an outcast and I didn't have too many friends because I was always the youngest. I skipped first grade and I went to school younger than everybody else. So I was always 1 or 2 years younger than everybody else. But I don't feel any ill will, any hard feelings for anyone in school. It's not like I was terribly bullied. I was just different, and I was just kind of an outcast, and I didn't really fit in, and I didn't make an effort either. So I didn't feel like I was left out when I wasn't invited to parties because I didn't want to go anyway. And I just had to come to terms with being myself, being confident within myself, and just finding reassurance in the fact that there are people out there who think exactly like me, who are very much like me, and who are basically like my soulmates. But then also that I don't rely on only finding people who are just like me, but I can also develop deep, profound friendships and relationships with people who are not exactly like me, but who can respect me as I am. And there are many people out there who are like that, who do enjoy finding the curious, the weird parts about you, and engaging with them. So if there are any people out there like me who think of themselves as the social outcast, the weird one, you too have the potential to find people who will love you just as you are, and they don't even have to be exactly like you. It is wonderful to relate to someone on a soulmate level almost, but it's not always necessary, and you can develop deep friendships with people who are not exactly like you. And that's why I also have many friends who are not even politically on exactly the same side as myself, But I value those friendships so deeply because we can have discussions about topics and not lose our friendships over it. I mean, there are certain topics that are so profound morally that would be difficult to establish a friendship over them. Like, for example, if a friend of mine told me that we can't hang out or that I have no place in their life anymore because I'm not vaccinated, that would be a deal breaker, kind of. Or abortion is also something that I'm quite passionate about myself, and I would have a hard time being friends with someone who endorsed abortions. I can have an understanding for people who say that they don't want to involve themselves in other people's free personal decision to get an abortion, although I personally am against abortions altogether, because for me it violates the non-aggression principle in libertarianism. So personally, I think that it is not something that has to do with free choice, because you are violating an individual, the baby, in this procedure. But yeah, so those are some topics maybe that would be difficult to bond over in a friendship, that would pose some difficulties. But there is a lot of leeway, there is a lot of room to develop friendships even if you have disagreements, and that is important for society. Yes. To move on, because in these times right now, we the division between to say it so metaphorically, black and white, also literally with the whole Black Lives Matter movement, all of that is so terrible. And the most important thing for society right now is to unite again, because remember who the real enemies is. It's not the people. It's not even the people who have several pronouns at once, who put them in their bio. Those are not the enemy. Those are people who are trying to find their identity, who just feel like they can't fit into anything. And because they don't get offered a good solution, because they always get slammed into this collectivist society again, and then you go to university and to wherever, even in school, you are just pushed into this one pattern. So they try to find some sort of individualism, and I think that's why they try to get on board with different pronouns and different identities, but in the end they don't really give them the opportunity to master their skills and become unique. They just think that that's going to make them unique because that's what they have been told, but in fact that's what makes them even less unique and even more an even more stereotypical version of themselves. But so I do have some empathy for them. I do understand where they're coming from. I have compassion for those who try to find their identity in those really toxic trends, which become abusive at some point. I mean, transgender surgeries and puberty blockers and all of that, that is gender mutilation. That is evil to do such a thing towards children, and then to call it gender affirming care. That's not care. That is infringing on the rights of the autonomy of children, because they can't make those decisions for themselves. And then the worst part is, I think, once they then grow up, when they then realize that they made a mistake. No, you did not make a mistake. You were a child and your parents pressured you into this, and they will blame themselves. And that is what I think is horrible.
Naomi, I want to ask you another question, but I think Murray, let's just quickly do an ad break. My last one, I'll be back with you now.
With his expert analysis and opinion,
this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Well, well, well. Look who else retained possession of classified documents after their term in office expired. I'm talking, of course, about then Vice President, now resident Joe Biden. But unlike President Trump's classified documents, which were covered under the non-criminal Presidential Records Act, the documents in Joe Biden's possession are covered under the National Records Act, which has severe criminal penalties attached. The real question is, why is discovery being made public now? They were discovered on November 2nd and covered up so as to not influence the election. So why is their discovery being made public now? Well, I think two reasons. First, because the Republican Congress is going to have subpoena power, and even though they have no ability to prosecute crimes, they can publicize crimes that were committed. Inquiries are going to be held, and the documents would have been discovered through that channel. I also think that they don't want Joe Biden to run for office again. Joe came out and said he's going to run for office again. I think this is the Democrat Party saying, not so fast, Joe. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Researcher William Doyle of the Caesar Rodney Election Research Institute, CRERI, found grants from Zuckerberg's favored nonprofits, the Center for Technology and Civic Life, CTCL, and the Center for Election Innovation and Research, CEIR, rivaled federal and state COVID-related election expenses, with CTCL and CEIR together accounting for an 85% increase in total additional election funding. And that largesse was concentrated in a relatively small number of heavily Democratic municipalities. Both organizations were founded by left-wing activists with ties to top progressive advocacy groups. Although CTCL and CEIR are chartered as non-partisan 501c3 corporations, CRERI research suggests the $419.5 million of CTCL and CEIR spending that took place in 2020 was highly partisan in its distribution and its effects.
Jeremy Nell on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Naomi, I think when you and I last chatted, you were a teenager still. You're now 22. What's going to happen when you reach 30? Is it going to be a singularity? Because your knowledge is just out of this world. It's next level.
Thank you so much. No, I think there's always more room for learning. That reminds me of my favorite play, probably, German Johann Wolfgang von Goethe's Faust, which was a huge inspiration for me in high school, probably also one of the foundations of my being, of my whole brain mechanisms, which is about the main character's Faust's strenuous endeavor to find some sort of purpose and meaning in life, because he was a researcher and he went into everything from biology, chemistry, physics, literature. He has done everything, and now he's depressed because he doesn't know what to do anymore. So he starts looking into the transcendental spiritual world, and he starts summoning ghosts, and then he doesn't even find any pleasure in that. So he just wants to commit suicide, but he just can't bring himself to do it because he has this intuitive feeling there must be some sort of meaning to life. And then there is kind of like a subplot of the devil starting a bet against God. And the devil says that he's going to lead Faust astray and to basically take him off the right path of striving for better. And instead, he's going to plunge him into hedonism. And so he tries that, and he comes down to earth and he talks to Faust and he tells him, let's make a bet. And Faust basically offers the devil his soul. If the devil, his name is Mephistopheles, if he can grant him one single perfect moment of absolute contentment. And basically, the moral of the whole story is that the devil was bound to lose from the start, because there is no such thing as a singularity of being content with everything in life. You're always going to want more. And that I think is actually the beauty of life itself, that because how scary and how sad would it be if you knew that there's an end to learning more and to feeling more and more euphoria. If you knew that, then one day you're going to reach that perfect end goal, and then what? Then you can just wait until you die and watch everyone else make progress. I think it's wrong to believe that the older you get, at some point you're just going to fall into regression. No, I think you always have the potential to do more and to discover new hobbies. You just have to make the most of the skills that you are given in that particular moment. Of course, as you get older, you lose some skills and you gain other skills. So just make the most of whatever you're given at that point in time.
I'm listening to you speak and I'm thinking you're in that generation that can have such a huge impact on the world, because we are in a very strange time right now. It is the weirdest. It's the weirdest few years, I think, for all of us right now. How in your mind do we get more people who are in their 20s and younger perhaps to start rethinking the way they see the world in the way that you see the world, because you see it through a very you see it outside of the box, as you said earlier, an outlier. The majority of people who are in their 20s are into TikTok and Pinterest and Instagram and they wear masks and they have a little Ukrainian flag and they think that signaling their virtue for all the things, you know, that are morally right because they've been told that by the establishment media. How do we get them to think a little bit?
By keeping an open mind and a lot of empathy for them as well. And I know that there are many people who will then say that they are so narcissistic and egoistic and I don't want to listen to these brats. But you always have to consider that there is some kind of motivation, there is some kind of reason why they think the things that they think. And it's not just because they are stupid, because then a lot of society would be stupid. But because those are just the trends that have been put out in the world. And then there are some people, some outliers in quotation marks, who do end up looking into the alternative side of things. But if you want to get the rest of them on board with the alternative views, then you have to keep an open mind. You have to understand where they're coming from and then interact with them in a kind manner. So like I said, for example, with the pronouns, I have some understanding on an abstract level why they feel the way that they do. And for example, they don't want to be identified with the stereotypes of their gender, but the solution is not to reject their gender altogether, but to just be confident in themselves as they are. And that doesn't mean they have to change their whole gender, their whole identity, and put all these labels on them, because that's just, they're just trying to make themselves more comfortable, but they should learn to be comfortable in themselves. So I think we live in a very spineless society and people need to learn to be more confident in their own views again, because I think that many, many people have an intuitive sense for what is right, but then they reject this rationality because they're scared of rejection. And here's a secret of mine. I actually follow a lot of very leftist content creators and I enjoy it. Low intellectual drama channels on YouTube, for example, and not because I'm interested in the drama itself, but because I want to see what makes those people think the way that they do. And what are the things that bother them in life and just the psychology behind it? I do find it quite interesting. I've always been fascinated with figuring out how different types of people think and what makes them adhere to certain social norms, for example. And then just recently, just a few days ago, I'd been following a more leftist documentary commentary style channel who does a lot of videos about, for example, climate change and libertarianism. And there was a whole video, I think, about Jordan Peterson and Ben Shapiro. And I don't go into these videos with the notion of, I'm going to be so upset about it. No, I want to find out what is your criticism and then let's see if I can agree or disagree in some aspects. And so she made this video about climate change, which I hadn't watched yet. And I watched it. And then at some point I saw my face all of a sudden. And it was very interesting for me to see, because she completely trashed me as, she's sponsored by Big Tobacco. And I don't know, all these conspiracy theories, basically. For me, it was just interesting to see what she gathered from mainstream media. And I'm not mad at her. In fact, I messaged her on Twitter and told her that it was very interesting for me to see what the media has put out there for people like her, who seem to do very diligent research. Even people like her get such a warped misunderstanding of my identity, of who I really am. And so I want to get to the root of why people get such a false idea of that which is really true, and seeing how people misunderstand me as a person, that shows me that there is so much propaganda about all kinds of different topics that we just need to debunk, and we need to approach those people and ask them, where did you get this information from? And here's why it's wrong. Or here are some reasons why you might want to question it.
So what you're saying, and I think I agree with you to a large degree, actually, is instead of ridiculing and mocking and laughing at people with whom you disagree and with whom you know you won't find common ground, what you actually should be doing is approaching them with compassion and perhaps, as you said, empathy and trying to understand why they hold that position. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly. And I do understand that many people will then also say, that's very naive. That's never going to work. And that's just the female side of your talking. But I do think it's very important that we, because just like politicians, you have to see them as voters too. They are part of society. We are not alone in this. And they are not, like I said before, the real enemy. We have to go against those who really are at the root of the oppression. So you can look at the World Economic Forum, for example, and the propaganda comes from there. And then society just adopts those beliefs because they get certain incentives, certain buzzwords that just vibe with them. And by just debunking this whole facade, this whole theater, this play that's being put out there about the perfect world and what we need to adhere to, this whole new age, new normal, basically, we need to deconstruct that, pull people out of the matrix, and make them more compassionate towards each other again. I think that is a very, very important, very integral part of how we can reshape society back into a more organic way that freedom becomes our highest virtue again.
Naomi, we are very quickly running out of time. I could listen to you for hours. I think Murray would agree that you just have so much to speak about. I'm definitely going to have to chat to you again. But just in terms of that understanding and compassion, I do not have that for Murray. He is completely sunburned on his face, and that's because he stood in the sun. And now I must understand him for that. No, I think Murray deserves to be laughed at.
You may laugh at him, but you can see that he can take it with a laugh as well. So that's how friendship works. We can laugh at our friends. That's fine.
By the way, Murray, I don't understand. You're Australian. Why didn't you have one of those hats with the corks hanging off it? Oh, man.
You can't make fun of your friends. What even is that friendship? Offense is taken, not given. That's my opinion.
Yes. All right. Oh, man, I'm just kidding. We all love you, Murray. Naomi, okay. Where can I follow you and find out more about all your ideas?
So since I had to take a long break due to health reasons, now I'm really getting back into it this year. So I'm starting with a couple of interviews, but you can find all the information of what I'm going to do with my whole social media existence on Twitter at ZeibtNaomi. Zeibt is spelled S-E-I-B-T. And then Naomi. And I'm also back on Instagram at NaomiZeibt2000. Not as active on there. And then for my German followers, I also have a Telegram channel, which I think should be linked on my Twitter. And I have a website, which I need to update, though, which is just NaomiZeibt.com.
Naomi Zeibt, thank you so much for joining me in the trenches.
Welcome, and thank you for inviting me. This has been very enjoyable after such a long break.
Yes, just quickly before you go, Carrie, who emailed earlier, who I apparently referenced as a female, emailed to say that he's a guy and that he wants me to wish you all the best.
Okay, then I'm sorry for misgendering you. No, thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Okay. Naomi, I will stay in touch with you. Thank you. And thank you to Murray, who's very sunburned, for producing my show. Listen, I've got to tell you, Murray, I don't know how you're going to sleep tonight. That sunburn in your face looks pretty bad. And I don't know what you actually do. I got sunburned last week. I don't know how you deal with sunburn. It's just one of those things. There's no cream. Nothing works. All right. Send me an email. Yes. Sorry. Say that again.
Aloe vera.
Oh, yeah. Maybe. Yes. It's quite soothing. Yes. That's not a bad idea. And it's natural. It's fairly natural. Yeah. All right. Send me an email, germwarfare@tntradio.live. As always, let me know where in the world you are mailing me from. If you want to hear more of Naomi, please send me an email. Let me know. I can tell you right now that I want to hear more from Naomi. Fascinating mind. I really wish there were more people like Naomi. It's a long, long battle, this, isn't it? The information war, it just never ends. But thankfully, there are people like Naomi who are more than happy to share their knowledge. And I am more than happy to chat to them on my shows, plural, actually. All right. I think I'm out of here. I think I've covered everything. Oh, wait, one last thing. Download the TNT app. It's in the Google and Apple store. Then you can listen to the show at a later stage. I think that's all my housekeeping done. I'm out of here. I'll see you Monday. My name is Germ. This is Germ Warfare, the Battle of Ideas.